All right. Well, let's get serious. And I wanted to finish up really the theme that we had through Christmas and that the whole idea of anticipation and expectation that we saw in our teachings, how there was great anticipation and great expectation in certain ways for the coming of the Messiah. And we saw how, you know, the prophets expected and anticipated the coming of the Messiah. We saw how there were, one of my favorite teachings was the wise men that Jim did. I mean, I thought that was awesome. Just one of the greatest teachings. It is awesome. And so today I wanted to finish that up, and this has always been a favorite story when it comes to the coming of the Messiah. And we know, as has already been shared, that actually we're going to do Malachi when we come back, start next week, and do our regular studies. I know we've been in the epistles, and yet when I started the Christmas series, I had three different people. Oh, can't we do Malachi? And so I said, sure, you know, I think that'd be a neat book to do. And so Malachi had spoken, and we dealt really with Malachi chapter 3, how there was going to be the coming, the Messiah was going to come, and he sees him as a refiner and as a cleanser. And he's going to come, and how those prophecies blended with the coming, the incarnation, and then the second coming. And that many times the prophecies of the Old Testament, you'll find that blending. After Malachi spoke, as Lance shared, as Jim shared, there were 400 years that went by. No prophet spoke. The word of God was kind of, in a sense, it wasn't that it was lost, but there was really no word from the Lord. And again, I think that when I think even of the day that we live in, there certainly isn't a hunger and a love and a desire for the word like there should be. If there was, our, you know, Bible studies and things like that would just be filled. They'd be packed out. And I'm just saying, I was saved during a time. It wasn't some attraction. It wasn't some special event. It was just Bible study. And if you wanted to hear the Bible study, you better get there an hour early, because the place would be full, and you'd go into an overflow, or you'd sit outside and listen to it on speakers. And there was such a hunger and a desire and an excitement for simply, I want to have a Bible study. I want to hear the Word of God. And that doesn't exist today. I'm just saying, it doesn't exist today. How we need a renewal and a revival, if the Lord would tarry and he would grace us with that once again. There's a sense that Bible study, and I have even personally been told that it's boring. Bible studies are boring. Certainly, if you have a Bible study, you don't want to spend too much time in the Bible study, because, again, we're ruled and in bondage to time. But yet, when I think about that, and I just think personally, the time I spend sitting watching a sporting event, certainly doing a recreation, I have no time limit on those things. And I can invest all kinds of time into those things. But when it comes to the things of God, oh boy, you better do it. It better just be this long. Oh boy, you know. And there's a whole move even in the church today. I was with 12 pastors. This has been 2 months now up in Buffalo. And the one pastor actually is president of a Christian college up there. And he said, we've sent out 150 pastors, 150 different fellowships. And he was telling me how they've tailored their services for the culture, worship, so many minutes. And his whole thing, this is a statement he made. You will not be in church more than 65 minutes. No, if we go beyond 65 minutes, then we failed. We can't keep their attention. We've got to, it's got to move. He was telling me what they do, you know, and a lot of new sayings up. They use, you know, multimedia stuff. It's just all the stuff, just constant, just, and the actual teaching time. He was saying 17 to 20 minutes. That's it. And we will not do more than that. That's all they can take. And I was thinking, wow, that is sad. That is sad. And again, and I wanted to ask him, well, of all that 17 to 20 minutes, how much of it is really in the scriptures? Because you got all this other stuff going on. And he said, a lot of times we pick a thing and a news story or something, we'll put that and we'll kind of just develop, you know, just kind of talk about that for 15 minutes. And so there's a hunger. And really, the minor prophets, Hosea, said that there would be a time when there would be what? A famine. A famine for the Word of God. And so there is a famine today for the Word of God. And so you think of 400 years of darkness, 400, and again, I'll just make a little point. That guy, that president, really nice guy. I mean, I just think that, again, we can allow the pressures of finances and the pressures of numbers to dictate to us what we do. And that should never happen. It should never happen. And the fundamentals are pretty clear. You know, Acts 2. Verses 40 and through 44 there. You know, those are the fun. Whenever I leave that. And they were continually in those things. They continued steadfastly in those things. And so when I don't have a desire for the Word and I don't have a hunger for the Word anymore, I need renewed. I personally need renewed. And I've gone through times that personally, boy, I can, again, find time for everything else. But, boy, to get in the Word, I just don't have the time. And so 400 years passed. You think of 400 years going by really without, again, they didn't have radio back then, TV, the iPod and the iPad and this and that. They didn't have any of that. You know, when I think today how, and I couldn't do it, I suppose I could learn, but, you know, I could just, on that phone, I could have that on there and have verse by verse, just push a button, there it is. You know, that I could have from Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse teaching, that I could go through the Bible probably in a year of certainly being taught, you know, but wow. Have I ever availed myself of those tools? Boy, they're there. And they're great Bible teachers. You know, we have a number of them on our radio station. You know, that's why we picked some of them. You know, they're just going to, boy, if you haven't gone through, and we used to have, it's outdated now, we used to have the cassettes of Pastor Chuck from Genesis to Revelation. And I remember we had it down here and people would come and every week they'd take the different cassettes and be listening and going through the Bible with what an education to go through the Bible with someone like that. And so all that's available. I should hunger for it. I should desire it, you know, in my life. 400 years. And certainly in the church today, it's not, you won't find it a lot. And so we just have always made a decision that's where what God's called us to, that's where we're gonna stay. And we want to have, getting beyond the coming of the Messiah, we want to have that expectancy. We wanna be looking forward to just the things of God. And if we're in the Word, if we're studying systematically through the Word, I think that creates that. That keeps that in the forefront. That, you know what, Jesus, for us, and that's really where we're going to end today, we're in a similar boat that these people were in. Again, we're not looking for the baby in the manger. I mean, they weren't looking for that, but we're not looking for the Messiah. We're not looking for the incarnation. We're not looking for Jesus, the Messiah, coming. He's come. He's come. He's gone to the cross. He's been put in the tomb. He's been raised from the tomb. He's ascended into heaven. And the promise for us is that he's coming back now. So what I always like is that we can identify with these people because we should now have the expectancy that they had only for Jesus coming, first of all, for the church. We should be looking and expecting, hey, today Jesus might come for the church. The rapture might be a reality today. And man, I don't think it's being taught a lot. I don't think that there are a lot, just like in Jesus's, just like in John the Baptist's day, just like in this time frame after Malachi. I don't think that it's thought of a lot. I think that the concern is, can we keep people happy? Can we keep them kind of emotionally thinking that they're satisfied and fulfilled? Spiritually, they're not really satisfied and fulfilled. They're still longing, and that's why they have to have an event, and they have to have all these things. And as a church, I've got to continue to try and come up with things to keep them interested, you know, keep them coming back. And I'm being honest with you, that never hardly crosses my mind. Because if you don't want to hear the Word, if you don't want to have reasonable and spiritual and truthful worship, you might as well just go get, you know, your thrill someplace. But one thing I do know is that your life won't be being transformed. Because the only way that's going to happen is as I'm delving and allowing the Word of God to change me. And I desire that. I want to become more like Him. And so I can go and look for all this other stuff. And it's just it's a deception. And I feel satisfied. I've had people say, well, there's nobody my age there. Too bad, isn't it? Is that why I'm going to church, to find somebody my age? Or am I going there to worship Jesus and to learn of Him? And allow Him and allow the Holy Spirit to be changing and transforming my life to become more like Him. I don't understand what He's talking about. Wow. There's something there. You know, there's an uneasiness. There's a deception that this, that, or the other is going to fulfill. It just isn't. And so, as all Israel waited for the Messiah, we saw again the expectancy. I wanted to look at two kind of one of my favorite stories. I always say that. I guess if you love the Word, everything's your favorite. But at this time, I marvel at these two people. And it's Simeon and Anna. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and look at them. The Messiah's been born. Jesus has been born. He's been laid in that manger. Joseph and Mary desiring to just be good parents. You know what? To be good Jewish parents. Now, at the proper time, they're going to have Jesus circumcised. Jim talked a little bit about that. And they're going to do what's right. They're going to present Jesus to the Lord in the temple. As they go to the temple, and as this happens, we're introduced to these two people. First, Simeon. Let's just go down chapter 2 of Luke to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout. And so we don't know a lot about him, but we know that Simeon was a man who had a heart for the things of God. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And I love that because you and I, Kim and I, we were talking to this lady down at the Rouse. And her family asked me to go talk with her. The reason they wanted me to go talk with her was she was anxious. She was anxious about certain issues in life. And so I said, well, yeah, I'll certainly go. And so the day before, I had gone in, just introduced myself, and sat and talked with her. And I'm sure, you know, she was anxious about things, but we were just trying to get to know each other a little bit. And so that was on a Tuesday, and Wednesday, Kim was with me, and so I said, let's go visit, you know, this lady again. And so we went in, we started talking to her, and she all of a sudden she looks at Kim and I, and she says, well, what do you think? Do you think that we need a pastor to teach us things? And don't you think that the Holy Spirit can teach us? And I go, you know what? A pastor can teach, but the only way I'm going to grasp anything, what does John tell us in John chapter 16? That the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us. And so the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And yes, you can read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will teach you. And she seemed relieved, didn't she? She seemed like, oh, that's wonderful. But what was sad was then as I started talking to her a little bit, how the Holy Spirit teaches us, and I think the Holy Spirit will teach us, like if I read the story of Simeon and Anna this morning, and maybe if I read that during the week, when I'm reading the Word of God, as I'm reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will teach me about the Word of God. But if I'm not reading the Word of God, He's not just going to infuse in my mind and my heart, probably the truth of the scriptures, if I'm not reading the scriptures. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I want to learn math, I better open the math book and read the things about math, the functions of whatever. I'm not good. I should have went somewhere else. Yeah. Where are functions? Is that trigonometry? Calculus. And so there are rules. There's order, right? There are certain, you know, things that I need to follow to solve these problems. And it's the same simple math, right? I mean, there are pluses and minuses and divisions and multiplications and so on. And if I learn those truths that this is what you need to do to come up with the answer, I can come up with the answer. But if I don't open it, if I open an English book, I'm not going to find the elements to math. And so if I'm reading, you know, a self-help book or a novel or a, you know, some thing that's written, how am I going to get the... And so that's what I started telling her. I said, you know, we can go to the Bible and as we read the Bible and stuff, the Lord will teach us the truths and bring these truths. And she stopped me. I don't read the Bible. I go, uh-oh. Okay, now we got a problem. Because the Holy Spirit isn't going to lead you into all truth if you're not into truth. And so if I'm just standing up here and regurgitating things and claiming it's the truth, it could be the truth or it could not be the truth. Could be an opinion, it could be heresy. But if we're in the scriptures, then we're going to learn the truth, and the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth. How many people, and I know a number of them, Billy Graham, Chuck Smith, nobody. They opened the Bible, and I don't know how many. They did John. They opened it to the Gospel of John, and they fell on their knees in their room or wherever they were, in their cell, wherever, on the highway, whatever, and they accepted Christ as they read the truth of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit revealed to them their need for a Savior. And so here was Simeon, and I think from his life, the Holy Spirit, again, was leading him, even though, where did this truth come from? Well, I think we're going to see from his life just a simple, neat example. He was just, he was devout, he was seeking, he had placed himself in a place where the Lord was going to speak to him. The Lord was going to teach him. The Holy Spirit was going to minister to him. Boy, when I have time that I sit with the Lord, I was telling people last week, it's easy for me to talk. It's easy for me to... I don't know about my mind's always like it's always going and I'm thinking, wow, you know, could I just shut this down for a minute? And I'll shut it down on that in that area, and then it just jumps to another area. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I wanna shut it. I wanna go to sleep tonight. No, it's just. And so here we are, and you know, I can be anxious, or I can be thinking about this, that, and the other. But boy, when I get alone with the Lord and open the Word, then it begins to shut down. I don't have to be anxious about this thing. One of our teachings, I don't have to fear. anxiety really, to me, comes from it develops out of fear. I begin to fear, you know, what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. Fear of failure, fear of whether something's going to take place. So it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." And now we're getting a sense of why Simeon had truth revealed to him. Why Simeon, you know, why weren't all the priests in the temple expecting the Messiah? Because they were so wrapped up in their ritual and their ceremony. They weren't, again, the Word of God. You know, it just wasn't a part of their life. According to your word. Simeon was relying. Remember those prophecies we went through? The expectation of the prophets. The prophets expected it. I didn't know where. Oh, I know, I was reading a new by this Jewish guy, Jewish perspective of the life of Jesus. It's not Alfred Edersheim, it's somebody else. Jim gave it to me for Christmas. And so I was reading it, and he was going through all these prophecies of this is what the Jewish prophet said. And he was saying that there's four types of prophecy and fulfillment, Jewish prophecy and fulfillment in the scriptures. And he has names for them, but I'm not going to go into that. But the one was a literal prophecy and a literal fulfillment in the New Testament. And when we go through Micah, right, that the Messiah is going to be born specifically, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem." Boom, we go to the New Testament. And Mary and Joseph had to go what? That's where Jesus was born. Literal prophecy, literal fulfillment. Simeon, according to your word. You know, either we believe the word, and we're reading the word, and the word is at least a part of us, so the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us into all truth. Oh, this is the fulfillment of that, huh? Here's the Messiah. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? Simeon knew certain things according to the word. You know, do I know certain things today? We should, right? Remember when we went through the pastoral epistles and we went to a little book that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and we did 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and how you ought to live. And concerning the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you." There's no reason for you. Paul even says it in a stronger way. There's no need to be ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant. Why don't we have to be ignorant? Because we have the scriptures. We have the word. What's next, Lord? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Thessalonians 5. We could read those chapters. Oh, you're coming. But when you come to the church, it's really clear. The trumpet, the call of God, He'll be coming in the clouds. That's how He's going to come. And those who are dead in Christ, the graves are going to open. There's going to be a resurrection. And then we who are alive, or those who are alive and remain, what? Are going to be snatched out. They're going to be caught up. Oh, that's crazy. Nothing like that's ever happened before. That must just be a fairy tale. You know what? I believe a lot of the Bible, but I don't believe that. No, you see, we can be like Simeon. We can know. And then as we are in the Word and reading the Word, the Lord can prepare us. We can have that sense of expectancy. Wow, I can't wait, Lord. And again, if you were saved in the 60s or the 70s, if you were privileged enough to experience, wasn't worldwide, but a revival, you have a sense, wow. That's why we printed up those little things, right? That's when we printed those up, when we were doing 1 Thessalonians. Remember, little bumper stickers, there's still some out there. Because back then, you weren't there, I'm telling you, and it's a truth, everything was Maranatha. Everything was Maranatha. Lord, come quickly, and I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. Now, we can't put a time and date. And again, that's what's happened. See, time. Our time is not His time. And so for us, you know, time has gone. 2019, can you believe that? A day away. 2019, another year has gone by. I thought you were coming in 1969, Lord. And it's 2019. What is that? 79, 40 years, right? Or did I miss? 89, 99, 2000. 40 years. Do you mean I need to keep expecting for 40 years? Yes. Because the Bible is truth, the Word. Simeon, 400 years. People had forgotten. They had given up. They had gone on. They were involved in life. The church, the temple, it wasn't a place of worship anymore. But there was a lot of ceremony and a lot of stuff going on. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And so he's quoting the Old Testament. He knows the Word of God. And so God's given him enlightenment. He has a real expectancy. And so I can think of again, Thessalonians. And I can place myself in the same boat that Simeon was in, and I want that same expectancy. And I want that same excitement. I want to be looking for the next great thing that God's going to do. Wow! It's going to happen. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so Simeon, he expected to see the Messiah. He was in the Word. He was in the temple. He was a person of devotion. He was a person who was maybe at times clinging, you know, to the Word of God. Believing the Word of God. Knowing that if God spoke it, it's going to come to pass. Let's look at the second one. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And I like this story because I think, wow, here's somebody that could have really been sidetracked. She was of a great age. She'd lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. And so what he's saying is that probably at a young age, she was married and she had a husband, but that husband died after 7 years of marriage. And we have to understand Jewish culture. We have to understand what it was like to be a widow in those days. Life could be really hard. And I think for even us, you know what? There are all kinds of things that could sidetrack us. Sickness, tragedy. I mean, boy, I hope not. I hope that something like that wouldn't sidetrack me from my love, my devotion, you know, to the Lord. But I think we can allow things, you know, in our life. But what did it do for her? This woman, a widow for 84 years. How old was she? Well, she was a widow for 84 years, and she got married. Let's say she got married when she was 12. She could have. Then she was married 7 years. Whoa! She'd be pushing 100 years old here. Anna, verse 37, did not depart from the temple. Wow. She made a decision. You know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to be in a place where God is the priority. She served God. She fasted and prayed night and day. Wow. Could I devote my life to fasting and praying? Am I a person, again, I know what the Word says. You know what? I might go to the Lord through the door of what we call death. But if not, could it be? Could it be before I walk that path, He'll come for the church? None of us knows, right? None of us knows. But wow, because there's a possibility. Lord, every day, I mean, right? Any day, either of those two things could, one way or another, we're going to go to be with the Lord, right? Because we love the Lord. We trust in the Lord. How's that going to be? I don't know how that's going to be. And that could happen today. Either one of those scenarios. So, knowing that, what am I expecting in my life? I think how often in my life I've expected to live in what my mind is a long time, and I'm going to check all these things off. I guess now there's a thing, you know, I have my bucket list, right? And I've got to check these things off. And I'm going to accomplish these things. And as I look at them, boy, there's not a lot of them that really have anything if I'm a disciple, if I'm a slave, if I'm a servant, if I'm a bond servant. Why in the world? And it's not that I wouldn't, again, do, maybe have a desire to do some of those things, but the motivation is all backwards. I'm just saying when it comes to the things in my life. You know, Lord, that you'd be the priority. Lord, you're coming. And so, am I a person that's in the Word? Am I a person that's in worship? Am I a person that's in communion? And being in the Word, do I really, and I think sometimes I don't place my, personally, I don't place myself in the reality of where I'm at. The reality is that every one of us, we're not in a position, oh, Messiah come. No, he's come. What are we in? We're in a position of, oh, Jesus come. Come for the church. Come for the church. Come for the church. I want to hear that trumpet call blast. I want to hear whatever that is going to sound like, that voice. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Well, here's somebody, the Messiah, and she knows the truth of why he's coming. He's a Redeemer. Now, we know that truth. We've embraced that truth. We've been redeemed. And so, Lord, keep me in the, make me be. Again, I think most of us are. We're people of the Word. We're in the Word. We want to stay there. But what I want is I want that expectancy. I want that anticipation in my life. It's so, I don't know about you, it's so hard to get bogged. I get bogged down. I get stupid stuff. And we all do different things, right? One thing I had to do, I still got to do it. And I'll lay in bed thinking about it. Has nothing to do with nothing, really. But I have ash trees that are dying. I'm getting them cut down. I got to haul them out of the woods. I'm getting ready to do that. And the big tractor tire, my tractor is flat, went flat. I got to get my big tractor tire that's flat, fixed. Then I got to go down in the woods. I got to haul those trees out. So that it just, you know, you think, what in the world? You know, so I get my tractor tire fixed. I get on my tractor. I go down in the woods. I shouldn't have went down in the woods. The part of the woods I got to go to, it's really steep. So I go down over there with my tractor, and I hook on a tree, and I start pulling the tree out. And it's so soft because we've not had cold weather. It's just muck. I'm jerking. The front end's coming up on the track. Come on, I know I can pull this thing out of here. And I'm not going to pull the thing out of there. So I unhook it, go back up out of there. So what do you think consumes me for the next 24 How am I ever going to get down? I got all these trees of power. See just how something simple, something that, I mean, we're all in that, you know. How am I going to, you know, get the house cleaned? Or how we, and it can become so dominant in our life. Sometimes I think the enemy sends stuff into our lives. You know, maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a relationship, relationally. And, you, boy, there's friction there. It's like, you know, the old Westerns, you know, I want to cause this guy a little trouble, so I'm going to put this burr, this prickly thing under the saddle. Then when he sits on it, that horse is really going to go crazy. And Satan does that to us. And what disappoints me is I fall for that stuff all the time. Why couldn't I say, you know what, the Lord's good. I want to live today. What could the Lord teach me? Well, not to try to pull out a big old tree when it's just mucky. Wait till the ground freezes. And if the ground doesn't freeze, then you're just going to have to wait till it dries out a little bit. And did I once ask, Lord, do you want me doing something else? Did I even ask him? Friday, I just automatically thinking Friday, I can just go do this. Why? I have a free day. I'm being honest with you. Not once did I say, you know what? Friday's coming up. I know what I got to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What about Friday? I thought, that's my day. I don't have anything scheduled. I'm being honest with you, not once did I say, Lord, do you have anything that you specific, are you calling me or leading me? You know, maybe I need to go back down to the house or something. Maybe I got to call somebody. Is there anything you want me to be doing Friday? Or, Lord, do you want me to haul out trees on my tractor? Does that sound goofy to you guys? That I would be considering what? How often do I do that? How often do we do that? Lord, according to your word, I'm trusting your word. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Well, if Jesus comes today, how many people aren't saved yet? How many people are going to spend an eternity in hell because they don't know Jesus? So don't you think Jesus has, the Lord might have an agenda that's a little different than mine? And you know what? I want you to get your trees out. But maybe Friday, maybe there's something else you need to be doing. I will say that the guy that fixed the tractor tire, I did talk to him about faith. So that was interesting, you know. I do see things like that now. I'm in this predicament, and this person I've never met before is here. Hey, why not to get to know him a little bit? And I think he needs to know that I'm a person of faith, and that faith is important. And life is really about Jesus. And so, wow. That's all I'm saying today. You know, as we enter a new year and we look at the anticipation and the expectation of the coming of the Messiah, we're in the same boat, guys. We're ahead a few couple thousand years, but we should have that same anticipation and that same expectation in our life. Jesus, you are coming. Lord, I believe your word. I'm clinging to this. Now, how does this apply to my life? What should I be doing in life? Certainly, I should be involved in the Word, even more probably. I should be in prayer. That's what we see these people. I should be putting myself in in certain places where that I can be aware that I'm positioning myself. Would that be a word? Where that God can speak to me where God can lead me, where that God can use me. Because we're in the last days. And do I really believe that? Do I really believe that we're in the last days? Do I really believe that we only have so many days, that we have a short time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, how can I be involved in doing that? By keeping the radio stations going. By handing out tracts. Do I have tracts with me? That's something maybe we should ask ourselves. Do I take my Bible with me most places? And if I don't want to, sometimes this looks goofy. You know, I don't think so, but I have a little one. It fits right in my back pocket, and I'll slip that thing right in there. So I have it with me. I always have that one in my truck, because when I get out of my truck, I just, I have it with me. I want to be prepared. I want to be in a place that if somebody asks me a question, I'm not afraid to say, I don't know, but let's look. Isn't that awesome? Even if an unbeliever, what about this? Ah, geez, I don't know. Let's look. What do you think he'll think about when you open the Word and you have it right with you? Well, let's look. And then if he asks you a goofy question, like, why did God... What was that question that lady asked me every Sunday about Judas? You know, she thought it was awful. The Judas. Remember her? Every Sunday she'd ask me that Sunday night in Bible study. Finally I said, don't ask me that anymore. I've answered you to the best of my ability. She was hung up on that. Judas went out and hanged himself. Like he didn't have a chance. That was her thing. She, oh, God wasn't fair. Don't ask me that anymore. But it was neat that we could do that and then go right into, hey, I think this is what he did with Judas. Hey, look at what Jesus did for us. We're sinners. Bah, bah, bah. You can go right through the gospel. Jesus is coming. Let's have that expectancy.